Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining me now, CBS3's Pat Gallen, as we talk Phillies and Sixers. And let's start with the Phillies, who are coming off a series where they took 3 out of 4 from the Washington Nationals. People were really worried about June, and rightfully so, because it was good team after good team after good team. They weren't dominant, but my goodness, they held their own. They finished strong. We got a contender in town, don't we?
How about that? You saw that coming, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't know that we've even seen them at all this season truly be dominant, except for maybe a small stretch a little bit earlier in the year. But that's about as good as you can ask for them to play in a position like that. These divisional games are always going to be tough, no matter who it is, the Marlins, the Mets, doesn't matter. So to come away with 3 out of 4, and in the way they did it, where Gabe Kapler pushed all the right buttons in that Sunday finale, they end up winning, the bullpen shows up huge. I think that's the kind of series and the kind of game that can roll over. And not only that, but they now have on their schedule 16 games against teams, I believe, that are 500 or worse. So this is a spot in the season where you can really break out a little bit, give yourself some cushion with the Nationals behind you, and try to make a move and push in on the Braves, who are playing great. I don't think anyone saw this coming from the Braves either, but they're playing really good baseball. You have the ability to kind of go on a run here, maybe push yourself 10, 11 games above 500. The summer's way better when the Phillies are good, isn't it? Isn't it this way? Like, I love when the Phillies give you something to look forward to, and it's been a while.
And I think, as well as they've played to this point, I think the starting rotation is probably operating at peak efficiency. I mean, across the board. I know Arrieta could be better. Eflin's not going to be this good. I think if you even it all out, you're getting about as maximum. Obviously, the bullpen is what it is. I think they're going to hit more. I think there's still room to grow offensively, because I feel like, you know, other than maybe, you know, like you mentioned earlier in the season, they really haven't had stretches where 3 or 4 guys are hot. And usually teams have 2 or 3 of those, you know, even if it's a long weekend or a week during a season. And I feel like we really haven't had that, and there's higher they can go.
Aside from Odubel, who had that monster streak to begin the year, who else had, like you mentioned, who else has even had a week of like, wow, he's tearing the cover off the ball? We haven't seen that at all. So the hope is that it starts to progress in that direction. You mentioned the starting pitching. I do wonder and worry a little bit about Arrieta. I think he's going to be somewhat uneven because the strikeout numbers just aren't there. And if you're not striking guys out at a little bit of a higher clip, I think you're going to have some trouble with that. If he can give you third or fourth starter type stuff with the way that Eflin is pitching, and aside from his last outing, Pivetta's been pretty good as well. And then, of course, Nola at the top. I wonder if they're going to start thinking about maybe adding an arm in the starting rotation, knowing that they are as close as they are. They're hanging teams in the NL. No one seems to really be taking off. I don't know. I think that they might search for that. The bullpen, while up and down, you can see they do have some pieces, but I would not be shocked if they added another arm.
Do you think that arm's Jared Eichhoff?
That is true. He is out there. I forgot about him until you just mentioned his name. But yeah, that could be that could be one.
I honestly have no idea what he can give you.
Yeah, of course,
because he was up and down last year. Now, the year before, he really established himself, and you thought, wow, they've got a good, solid middle of the rotation guy. He was up and down last year. He's had multiple injury issues this year. So if he comes back healthy, I think
that give you depth. Do you feel comfortable with that depth?
I think you roll the dice and throw him out there, but you don't expect a lot, because I just don't know how fair it is to expect a lot out of a guy who's coming off a shaky season that ended because of injury and has yet to pitch this season because of injury.
I guess if they feel comfortable with him as that sixth arm or 5B, I do think they're going to add a bullpen arm. I mean, they're just in a position where they pretty much have to do something. They've put the money into Santana. They put the money into Arrieta. You're in a position where you can push for at least a wild card. Why stop there?
No, absolutely. And this division's winnable. I mean, you're more than halfway.
Sure. No doubt.
Numbers-wise, you're more than halfway through the season, and you are three games behind an Atlanta team that is kind of a mirror of the Phillies, where there's a lot of young guys. They're probably playing a little bit above their head, so there's no reason to think that they are uncatchable.
No doubt.
Who are your Phillies all-stars?
Is there just there's got to be just one, right? It's got to be Nola.
Anybody else?
You think Sir Anthony makes it?
I don't know if there's enough there.
I don't know if there's enough there either. I think the numbers are probably good enough. If he had more of a track record, a little bit longer in the majors. Who else are you thinking?
Cesar Hernandez at second base because of the position he plays.
I guess it's who's in the lead for voting?
I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, I don't even know. I guess that's possible too. He's been pretty steady at the top of the order. I'd like to see him get the nod. I'm probably going to guess that they get definitely Nola, and I'll say a coin flip on Hernandez.
I think they get two, and I think it comes out of the bag of Cesar Hernandez, Odubel Herrera, and Sir Anthony Dominguez, because a lot of time, I mean, I'm with you. I don't know that he's been up long enough and has enough track record, but you do see a lot of times these managers kind of build their bullpens for specific situations, and he could be a guy that's looked at that way.
I wonder about Odubel because of, and I don't know, I don't have it laid out in front of me, but the rest of the NL, like sometimes those teams that just get one guy in, you'll throw in like your best outfielder or someone like that, and that's where Odubel may not make the roster. I'd love to see all four of them make it. I mean, they are, you know, what, 7 games above 500? So they're definitely deserving of at least one, but I'll stay on the safe side and say Nola. He'll be the only one.
Let's switch gears. 76ers. Mm-hmm. How disappointed were you that LeBron James wasn't coming here? And when I say disappointed, I mean, how realistic, how much did you think, hey, this really has a chance of happening?
I thought there was a small chance. L.A. is so hard to turn down, and we had heard the storylines over and over again. He lives out there. He's got the two houses in Brentwood. His son is going to high school out there. It just seems like he's in that spot in his career where winning is certainly important, but it's not going to be the only thing in his life. Family is taking high importance. And then on top of it, it's L.A. I mean, he can do everything else he wants to do in life out there. I will say the small chance obviously came from the things we know about Brett Brown being a great pitch man, him being very close to Ben Simmons. Obviously, they share an agent. But let's face it, Philly's just not on that level yet as a destination. You've got Joel, you've got Ben, you've got a great coach in place, but it's really hard to get the best or second best player of all time to come to a town that, you know, for the last few years really hasn't been a basketball town. We are now starting to hit that level, and that's great. That's a really hard sell against an LA team that had the ability to bring him in and say to him, and we're going to try to go after Kawhi. He's probably going to come here in 2 years anyway. Wait it out. We're going to put a good team around you. So I was slightly disappointed just because, you know, you put all this together starting with Hinkie. You put all these pieces in place to get to this point, and then he turns you down. But let's face it, it's LeBron, it's L.A. That's sort of a magical pairing.
Do you feel like the steam has gone out of the idea of trading for Kawhi Leonard?
They seem to be asking quite a bit, and I don't know if I feel comfortable giving up three starter-level players. Well, we hope Fultz is a starter-level. We assume that he'll end up being, but Fultz, Covington, Saric, and then two first-round picks, maybe more, or some grouping of five of those assets. I think that's a tough sell, not without him saying to you, I feel good about staying in Philadelphia. That's really difficult. I think that there are other ways that you can build. You need to get a star, another one. There's no doubt about that, but I don't think you can't pay 150% for Kawhi Leonard. I just don't think it's the smart move long term. If they come down off that number, I'm all for it, but that what I'm seeing right now as far as the reports, I think that might be an overpay.
I know fans are frustrated. You know, they thought there was going to be the big splash. Do you feel like we underestimate players that are already on the roster improving and taking you to that next level that way. I think with Embiid,
sure,
the big thing you want to see from him maybe is conditioning. Sure. But as good as Ben Simmons was, him taking a big step. Obviously, Fultz, I think, is kind of a wild card that could really change the dynamic if all of a sudden you're able to get him to that level that he was drafted at. Yep. But Šarić, like, a lot of these guys have a lot of room to grow, and I don't feel like people, when they look at this in the big picture, they don't anticipate, hey, these guys are going to still get even better, and that's going to make you better.
I think that we assume Simmons will get much better. We can point to the shooting as something that's going to take him to the next level and maybe over the top as one of the 10 best players. Embiid still has a little bit of room to grow with his outside shooting and his ability to pass from the low block. We do forget a little bit about Šarić maybe being a little bit of a better player, and maybe Covington even hitting his stride a little bit, and clearly Fultz. So yeah, I think I do agree that we forget about how young some of these players are. Šarić is only, what, 24 right now? So there is certainly still room to grow.
It just feels like we've been talking about a lot of these guys
exactly.
for 6-7 years.
Exactly, yeah. I will say this. I mean, the way the Eastern Conference is shaped right now, you can certainly see them at least vying for the Eastern Conference crown. The Celtics are going to be a really good team, and they've got a ton of assets as well. So it seems like it's shaping up to be a two-horse race with them. So even if you do beat them, then what? Then you've got the Warriors. Then you've got the Rockets. Then you might even have the Lakers now with LeBron putting a team together in 2 years. So it's not an easy climb. I mean, if the point is to win a championship, and I think it is for the Sixers, they're probably still a piece short. And that guy could be Kawhi, and he'd be a perfect fit. But again, not for that price that I think San Antonio wants them to pay. So I think you are right, though, that if Ben gets better and he's one of the top 10 in the league and Joel's one of the top 10 in the league, they're really close. And then you just hope that the Warriors eventually fall apart and the Rockets aren't the same and the Celtics maybe don't hit that next level.
I think right now the 76ers are clearly the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
I agree.
And I feel like everybody's taking that for granted. This is a team that won 10 games 2 years ago,
sure,
and or whatever, and they are without, I don't think there's any question, second in the East, and I just feel like everybody's kind of shrugging their shoulders about that. Like,
I think that just kind of speaks to us as like a sports society, and I say that in quotes, like, you want it to happen so quickly, and you see the way they've progressed to 52 wins, and even in the playoff series, like, people all over the area and all over Sixers Nation sort of came down pretty hard on Robert Covington, mm-hmm. despite him having a decent year. I mean, his first team all defense instantly has a bad series against Boston, and it's sky falling. So I think that the way that we sort of perceive this news cycle, and with the NBA now it's 12 months, like, we want it right now, so how do we get it right now? Well, that's sign LeBron, trade for Kawhi. It's all got to happen right now. Whereas really, Ben Simmons being 21 and Embiid being 24 and Šarić being 24, you would think they still have at least 3 or 4 good years together where that prime as one can sort of progress, and then you add a piece here or a piece there in upcoming seasons, and that can get you over the top. So I don't think it has to be right now, but I can understand the fan base saying, we got to cash in while, you know, we got to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah, I think if everybody was 27, 28, 29,
right,
I would understand not settling for you're the second best team
sure.
in the East right now.
Yeah.
What's wrong with, when you're this young and you're number two, in my opinion, clearly number two, because Toronto's kind of self-destructed. Obviously, Cleveland is a completely different animal.
Yeah.
You know, it's Boston, the Sixers, and then I think you throw teams like Washington, Toronto, like, they're all in the middle of the road, possibly could get up to the high 40s, low 50s because the conference is weak. But I think it's a two-horse race, and you're one of the two horses.
I wonder if some people think, not that it's fool's gold, but they had to run off, what, 16 straight at the end of the year to make 52 wins. It's obviously unsustainable to keep winning in that sort of fashion, but I think you're right that they're the second-best team in the East. We should be really happy about that. We still here see the amount of assets they have within their control. Markelle Fultz, I mean, you're basically adding another first-round pick this year because he gave you zero last year. Give it a little bit of time. I know it's tough to do that, and I'm the same way. You see it in front of you. It's within your grasp. LeBron was there. Kawhi might be there. Paul George was there. Give it a couple of years, and I think we'll be happy about the end goal.
CBS3's Pat Gallen joining us on Reporters Roundup. Pat, if someone wants to check out all of your work, what should they do?
Tune in. CBS3, the morning show from 4:30 to 7, Monday through Friday. And then you can hit me up on Twitter, Pat Gallen, CBS3. And hit my Facebook as well, Pat Gallen TV.
Pat, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Matt.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.